Congestion charges, higher taxes for larger vehicles, higher parking fees. These are among the measures being proposed by the government to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and tackle traffic congestion. Under the plan, which will now go to public consultation, the onus would be on local authorities to adopt more environmentally friendly measures. Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader and Minister for the Environment and Transport, is with us. Good morning.
Morning, Richard.
At its heart, is this about taking more cars off the roads?
It's about making the transport system work for everyone. It's not anti-motorist or anti-cars, but a gridlock system, one which is congested and one which you don't never know how long your journey is going to take, isn't going to benefit anyone. But we also need a transport system that's part of the climate solution we need. We need to take out the carbon, stop burning fossil fuels. And part of that will be also, yes, shifting away towards public transport, towards safer walking, active cycling and other modes. It's a medium to long term strategy. It does put a lot of the choice at local authorities. It's not forcing anything. It's not making immediate decisions. It's not putting an immediate charge on anything. But it does recognise that the current system, because it is so gridlocked in Ireland, we've had a car-dependent system for 60, 70 years, that we've reached the end of the road of that and we do need to change direction. But also we do need to address climate change. I don't know if you watched that RTÉ programme last night, Philip Boucher-Hayes, there's an urgency. We won't make that change unless we change transport, and it has to play its part.
But doesn't that only work if public transport is adequate? And in many areas, it's not. I mean, earlier we heard from Pather Tobin talking about Meath, a county with no rail line and, as he said, an unreliable bus service.
And we have to change that. And this will mean we do have to put in the better alternative first. That is the key thing we need to do. We will do that in Meath and right across the country.
So more emphasis on the carrot and less on the stick.
Yeah, we won't do this if we're just shaming or pricing people off the road. It does have to mean providing the better, quicker alternative. And we're doing that. Rural bus services are taking off in this country and the public are responding in an incredible way.
But would you accept that that's not the case everywhere? Some counties now have a better service. Others, perhaps, the change has been relatively slow and relatively small.
Under this government, the last 2 years, we've been rolling out a new rural public transport services or enhanced service every week. And as I said, the numbers using it have doubled. But similarly in our cities, Cork, Galway, Waterford, Limerick, we have plans now or are starting to deliver now bus connects programmes and active travel, improved greenways, so people do have better alternatives. That is the first most important response. The key thing we will need is local authorities to provide the road space so that those buses work fast. Everyone will be able to tell you, go down to Cork, the bus system isn't working because it's stuck in traffic. Now, if we can reduce the traffic and give the road space so the bus goes quicker, that works better for everyone. People can switch, which they want to do, onto public transport. You've less cars, less gridlock, less emissions. It's a switch of direction away from ever lengthening commutes, ever longer commutes, towards planning our country, planning our towns and cities, so it's easier to get around, so that there's shorter distances, so that we really clever how we manage transport. That's what this plan
and
is about.
And what would you say then to people in rural areas who would say to you, well, yes, there may have been a new bus route introduced in my area, but it only runs three times a day, and that just isn't enough for me to get to and from work.
Yeah, and those instances, a lot of people will still be using their cars. This is not trying to get the motorists, not trying to get people out of cars, but it's trying to get a system that works. And in some instances, that'll be people driving. That's absolutely fine. But if everyone drives and if everyone's stuck in traffic, it doesn't work for anyone.
Under these plans, a lot of the responsibility would fall on individual local authorities. If a local authority resists change, what then?
I think it'll be bad for their area, because this is the direction that smart towns, smart cities are going in. And it's starting to happen.
But will there be penalties for a local authority if it says, no, we don't want to introduce these measures?
The penalties would more come in terms of that's not where people will want to live. That's not where jobs will arise. And if you look at Dublin City Council, they've already made a decision this summer. We're going to take the true traffic out of Dublin City Centre, not restricting traffic, not restricting access, but actually recognising that the city centre isn't about, it isn't a motorway to drive through. It's a place to visit, to live in, to shop in, to go out at night.
Do you want then other towns and cities to make similar changes?
Yes, Dunleary Rathdown Council just made a decision similarly for the centre of Dunleary to try and create a really attractive place to work in, to live in, to shop in. And I think the councils that do that are the ones that are going to be successful, that are the ones going to get investment. I'll give you another example. Limerick City is starting to make some of the decisions you need to make to actually make the bus system work, to make it safe to walk and cycle. And I think the cities and towns that do that are going to be the ones where investment goes, where people will want to live, where you get good housing solutions. Housing and transport are inextricably connected.
But there will also be a system of penalties, won't there, for local authorities who don't go along with these plans?
The main penalty, the main sense of that is we've a limited budget. We have about 35 billion euros on the transport budget. And those cities and councils and county councils which are able to spend that effectively, which are able to deliver quickly the better bus systems, the better active travel networks, obviously that's where the money's going to go to.
Where do you envisage that congestion charges will be introduced?
I don't at the moment. I think if we've done the analysis, if we try to price people off the road, that wouldn't work. It wouldn't be socially just. It would take too. It would be very expensive on the motorist. I don't think that's the best way to go. I think the best way to go is to reallocate the road space. Come back to what we're saying is so you have a really effective public transport system and give the space for the cyclist and the pedestrian. That allocation of space, rather than the pricing people off the road, I think is the first step on the way to go.
How will you get insurance companies to charge lower premiums to those who drive less?
Well, I think there are a lot of insurance companies already that have flexible products where the actual, if you can show a record where you reduce the risk of claims, then you will have a lower fee. A lot of insurance companies are already starting to put in those sort of innovative measures because it makes business sense and it helps reduce accidents.
What's the timeline?
We need to think about that in the moment.
What's the timeline then for this strategy? I mean, is any of it likely to become law during the lifetime of this government?
Well, first it goes to public consultation. That'll be 3 months so that people have plenty of time and councils. This has also been devised. We've about 100 people have been engaged in devising this strategy from a whole range of local authorities, from academia, from NGOs. From business organisations. So it's to listen further and because this can't be forced. It can't be a punitive, we're telling you what to do. It has to be a recognition that by switching away from a system which is gridlock congested, polluting, high accidents, towards one which is much more social, which is much more effective transport system, that's a positive change we need to make. We've reached the end of the road on a car-dominated, just more and more traffic. That will not work for our country. So first things, we have to consult and listen to other people, and there are measures that will come in quickly, but the majority of this is for the coming next 2, 5, 10 years.
So it's unlikely then, is it, that any of this will become law while the current government is in office?
Oh, well, I mean, we're doing a huge amount. We've got a massive, Pathfinders projects where we've 35 immediate projects right around the country.
But these specific measures?
There are 35 different actions. Some of them are already happening. I give you that example of Dublin City Centre and Dunleary Rathdown, and there are others, what's happening in Limerick. So a lot of them are actually already in train. It is the change in direction, and it is also the key thing we need to do is to cut our emissions now. That's happening in the other sectors. Ireland is actually starting to turn. We're seeing in energy, we're seeing in agriculture, we're seeing significant cuts in emissions. We're not seeing it in transport. That has to start now. It starts by making the better alternative available first, and that's what we're focusing on.
Doesn't recent history tell us, though, that any time proposals like these are put forward, they meet significant opposition?
Yeah, and that's the job of politics, I suppose, is to persuade. And change is never easy. When you're changing something which is, and particularly in transport, because we've embedded a car dependency in our planning, often corrupt planning over the decades. We've allowed the sprawl of our cities. We've allowed corrupt rezoning to actually create a car dependent system. And that's hard to undo. And that's why it can't be a punitive response. It has to be a progressive, better alternative response. So it does take time, but you can't not change. Just giving
so
in.
So you do expect significant pushback on all of this?
Yeah, but I think there's actually beneath that, the vast majority of the Irish people do want a better public transport system. They do want to live in streets which are not car dominated. They do want a cleaner environment. They do want to play their part in climate change.
Is there a danger, though, that we all want that in the abstract, but when it comes to changes in our own local area, we may be less keen?
Yeah, but if you look at every time we put a better bus service in, people flock to it. Any time we've actually tried to reduce the traffic in a street, tried to make it more pedestrian friendly, no one has ever argued that we go back. It's just people. It's the unknown is what people are fearful of. But actually, the reality of a less car-dominated community street system, actually, the Irish people like that.
The environmental campaigner, Duncan Stewart, on a related matter, told the Metrolink planning hearing yesterday that the project should be withdrawn and redesigned because principally of the carbon emissions that will be generated during its construction. Do you share his concerns?
No. It's a public hearing and it's good that we're going to listen to all the different views. But no, I believe we need the Metro. We've been thinking about this, looking at it for 25 years. And we need it because it's not just because it changed our transport system. It also gives us the opportunity to build around the Metro new housing, new communities, which is really sustainable, particularly on the north side, but also into the future. It will extend into the future further southwest towards Terenure, Rathfarnham, Firhouse, Tallaght. It's a spine right the way from the north, top, tip top north of Dublin through to that southwest quarter.
So you're satisfied then with the plans as they are?
Yeah, I think we should have built it 20 years ago, but I'm confident, well, it has to get through planning, but subject to that, we will build it. It will be one of the elements of transforming Dublin. We have to be careful. It's not just about Dublin, though. We're also building out Metropolitan Rail in Cork and in Limerick and in Waterford. It's hugely ambitious and really attractive. There's really interesting things happening in Waterford as well as an example of cities changing. Look at what's happening in Waterford. We've put a new bridge in. We're building it at the moment across the shore. There's massive housing going to go in on the North Quays, on the shore, on the Ferrybank side, the Kilkenny side of it. But that's going to transform Waterford. So there is change happening and it's towards life back into the centre of our towns and villages, housing close to public transport options. That's the way to go. And it is happening.
All right. Can I ask about one other issue in the news again this morning? Something we discussed earlier, Ireland confirming yesterday, the government confirming that it is going to sign up to the EU's migration pact. Was any consideration given to opting out of some of the measures?
No, I don't think that would be good for the country. I think that would actually make a difficult management of refugee and people looking for protection much worse. I think it actually, I mean, we hear other kind of politicians, was Matty Gmrach saying, oh, he was opposed to it now. I think if you were opposed to it, you would see you'd be bringing larger numbers of people into our country and making it less manageable. I think we do need...
Well, the argument that they might put forward is that Denmark, which also has an opt-out, has chosen to exercise that opt-out and is going its own way.
Yeah, well, Denmark may be going that way, but I think we have a particular challenge here. Every European country has seen a dramatic increase in the number of people seeking protection. Because we're in a world of climate change where the world is burning and conflict is increasing, that is driving increased forced migration, unfortunately. And so we're not alone in terms of having to address this. But the scale of the change has been huge. And we've gone from something like 3,000 people seeking protection a year, 4 or 5 years ago, to 14,000 on average each of these years. This will help manage that in a coordinated way, coordinated with our European colleagues. We have a particular circumstance because we have an open border with Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom is not a member of the European Union. That for us is probably one of the biggest challenges. But not being in the European pact would make it more difficult, more uncertain, and in my mind would make what is already a difficult challenge much harder.
All right, just one final thing. I know that you met the new Fine Gael leader, Simon Harris, last night. Will it be business as usual for the government or will there be changes?
I think it'll be business. I think this government is working well. I think if you look at where we've managed difficult crises in COVID, in the cost of living crisis in recent years, in showing climate leadership, we will continue to do that. I think what we agreed, we made put out a statement last night. We expect this government to live out its full mandate. We have to deliver.
No election before Christmas.
I don't believe there will be. We have to deliver on providing housing for our people, reforming our health system, showing climate leadership. And I think there is a fourth leg in the stool. And I've always said those three. We do need to manage that migration crisis as well. And I think what was agreed in Cabinet yesterday will really help significantly doing that.
Eamon Ryan, Minister for Transport and the Environment, thank you for being with us on Morning Ireland.